It's okay to get them all ready to go, as long as they don't go out tonight while I'm speaking, you know. That would be disheartening, you know. But it's good to see you again. We're continuing our study in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5 tonight, and we're going to be looking at verses 21 through 43 tonight. I'll start reading at verse 21, Mark 5. And when Jesus was passed over again, excuse me, let me locate my Bible here. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, come in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. This is a couple of familiar passages, I think, for all of us. If you notice, one of the things I noticed about this passage in verses 21 through 24, we have the Lord Jesus dealing with the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, and his sick daughter. And verses 25 through 34 is like a parenthesis. On the way to Jairus' house, the Lord Jesus met the woman with the issue of blood, and he had a conversation with her. And then the narrative picks up again in verse 35 through 43, and the Lord continues on to Jairus' house. So you see that we have two miracles performed within a short period of time by the Lord here. And Jesus and his disciples had just returned from the region of Gadara, where we looked at this morning of the demon-possessed man. And as soon as he got off the boat, we see in verse 22 that there came one of the rulers of the synagogue by the name of Jairus, and he came and it fell at Jesus' feet in that verse. And in Matthew, Matthew says in verse 22 that Jairus came and worshiped him. So Jairus believed that the Lord Jesus was the Messiah of Israel, that he was the Son of the living God. Jairus believed that. And in verse 23, he made his request to the Lord. He said, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jairus here, I think, is a man of great faith. We see that he really believed that the Lord Jesus Christ could heal his daughter. There was no doubt in his mind about that. And he wanted the Lord Jesus to come. She was sick. She was at the point of death. And it was just a short time before she would be passing off into eternity. And Jesus, in verse 24, went with him. And by this time, there was a huge crowd around the Lord and his disciples as he was walking toward Jairus' house. And in verse 25, he ran into something else. Somebody else in verse 25. There was a woman there who, in verse 25, who had an issue of blood for 12 years. That means she had been hemorrhaging, which is internal bleeding, I think. I believe that's what that hemorrhaging is. And she had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. Can you imagine? And it says there in verse 26 that she had gone to all the doctors that she could find. She spent all she had. She spent all the money that she had paying for her treatments. And there was no one who could heal her condition. As a matter of fact, she got worse. If you can imagine that you feel sick, you feel really bad. You go to your doctor and he says, well, let's do these tests. We'll do your blood test. We'll do the MRI. We'll do the CAT scan. We'll do this test and that test. And they came back and said, you know, we can't find anything. No, we can't find what the problem is. So you go to another doctor. He said, well, let's give you these tests. We'll give you the blood test, the MRI, the CAT scan, this test, that test. They come back and say, well, you know, I hate to tell you this, Mr. White, but we don't know what is wrong with you. And I would say, listen, I've shelled out thousands of dollars to you guys, and you can't tell me what's wrong. What is the problem here? And you go again to another doctor, a specialist this time, and he says, well, we'll give you the MRI, the CAT scan, the blood test, this test, that test. And he comes back again and tells you, we don't know what the problem is. We can't heal you. We can't cure you. We can't give you any medication. We can't perform surgery on you. So you get an idea of what this woman with the issue of blood was dealing with in her life. And she had been in this condition for 12 years. And verse 27, she had heard that the Lord Jesus was in her vicinity, in her town. And she joined the crowd there in verse 27, and she came up to the Lord, unbeknownst to anybody else, and touched his clothes, touched his garment. Matthew says in his gospel account of this event that the woman touched the hem of his garment. And she was saying in verse 28, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. You know, I don't have to touch the Lord. All I have to do is touch his outer garments, his clothes, and I'll be healed. What faith that woman had in the Lord Jesus. And we know that faith, it was so simple. The simplicity of her faith is revealed here. That she really, truly believed that if she touched the hem of the Savior's garment, if she just touched his outer clothes, he doesn't even have to talk to me. He doesn't have to lay his hands on me. All I have to do is touch his clothes. So we see that the woman with the issue of blood in these verses had reached her, she would reach the end of her rope. You know, she was at the bottom of she was at the bottom of the ditch. She couldn't get out. The only recourse she had was the Lord Jesus Christ for healing. And in verse 30, we see that the Lord Jesus knew in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now that word in the King James, virtue, may throw you off a little bit. It's a puzzling word to use there. What it means is the power proceeding from him had gone forth. The power proceeding from him had gone forth. The Lord's divine healing power was released when the woman was healed. And the woman was healed of her infirmity because the Lord permitted her, or permitted his power to heal her, you see. And a lot of people say, well, you know, this is just some magical trick that this man Jesus performed. It really didn't happen that way. But, you know, this is not magic. This was a supernatural work of God. And sad to say, and I've seen this, maybe you have too, of certain ministries who will tell you that they will send you a piece of cloth in the mail. All you have to do is touch this piece of cloth and you'll be healed of your physical problem. Can you believe that? And people send the money. People send these charlatans money and they get the cloth back and they touch the cloth like the woman with the issue of blood touched the Lord's garment and they expect it to be healed. You know, that's sad. It's sad. It really is. But you see here, this was this is one of those divine appointments that the Lord had made with this woman with the issue of blood. This was no accident. This was no coincidence. And in verse 31, the disciples, when the Lord said, "Who touched me?" In verse 31, the disciples said, "Well, Lord, there's all these people around here, and you're telling us who touched you? We don't know. We can't keep up with that stuff, you know." But the Lord knew, and this woman knew, who touched him, you see. And he looked around about in verse 32 to see her that had done this thing. The Lord Jesus wanted to find this woman. And he did find her. And in verse 33, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. So we see that this woman, fearing and trembling, this woman probably didn't want to be recognized publicly. And because she knew that she was healed. And we skipped over verse 29 there. But in verse 29, it does tell us that this woman was healed of her issue of blood. She was no longer hemorrhaging for 12 years. Because she believed that the Lord Jesus Christ could heal her of her condition. And that's exactly what happened. And we see in verse 33 that she came fearing and trembling to the Lord, and she admitted to the Lord what had happened, what had taken place. And in verse 34, the Lord told this woman, he said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." The Lord recognized her faith in him. The Lord Jesus Christ was pleased at the faith this woman had in him that she would be healed of her infirmity. And these wonderful words of assurance of the Savior to her. And all the people were probably gathered around there, saw this miracle. And they remembered that conversation that the Lord Jesus had regarding this woman, the words that he said about making her whole. And this had to have an impact. This had to have an impact on the hearts of the people that were gathered around there who saw this great miracle. But there's something else. I think we need to understand something. That the Lord, it would appear that he was interrupted on his way to the house of Jairus. Of course, we understand that it was a divine appointment. Really wasn't an interruption. But the Lord Jesus stopped and showed compassion to this woman. I wonder if sometimes we're so busy that we're busy engaging in things that we think are important. And there comes an opportunity for us as believers to show compassion to other people. That we have to stop. We have to be interrupted by someone because they need a compassionate touch. They need someone to listen to you. They need to have someone care and love them. And when this interruption occurs, you know, sometimes we have a habit, we kind of push the person away, and I got to go home and do this and that and all that kind of stuff. But we should be on the lookout for those divine interruptions. We should understand that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to show the same compassion that He had for this woman. He wants us to show that same compassion to other people. And as we have opportunity, and we will, brother, sister in Christ, we will have opportunities like that. And let's remember that the Lord was never too busy to show compassion to other people. And He certainly wasn't too busy to show His great mercy and compassion to this woman with the issue of blood. But in verse 35, the narrative continues in verse 35. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" There were some people came from Jairus' home saying that his daughter was dead. So listen, don't bother the Lord Jesus. You know, it's she's dead, she's gone. There's nothing we can do. My question is, what kind of faith do these people have toward the Lord Jesus? Obviously, they didn't believe that Jesus could raise this young girl from the dead. They didn't have that faith. They had a lack of faith. And we must go back to those scriptures. Is there nothing too hard for God? Or to put it another way, there's nothing impossible with God. So we see that in verse 35, we have some voices of unbelief telling Jairus that, you know, his daughter was dead. And don't bother the Lord is not going to come. She's dead. She's gone. There's no hope. But in verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." The Lord overheard the people in this conversation. And the Lord Jesus told Jairus not to pay attention to these voices, but keep on believing. Keep on believing. Those were words of encouragement to this poor father whose daughter was dead. Keep on believing. There's something else I have planned. There's something else that's going to take place when I get to your house. Only keep on believing. Continue to have faith in me. Brothers, sisters in Christ, that's what we have to do on a daily basis, don't we? We have to keep on believing. We have to have faith that the Lord is going to take our circumstances, take the events in our life, and work in them for us and for His glory, for His honor. We must believe that. We must keep on believing that. We must have the faith that Jairus had. And we see that Jairus did have the faith that the Lord wanted him to have because he allowed the Lord Jesus to come to his home. If he didn't have that faith, he would have said, "Listen, Lord, it's all over. Don't bother to come to my house. My daughter's dead. It's too late for her." But he didn't say that, did he? He allowed the Lord Jesus to come. And in verse 37, we see the Lord took Peter, James, and John with him. Excuse me. And in verse 38, he came to the house of Jairus in verse 38. and seeth a tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. The people were weeping and wailing loudly over the death of this young girl. And verse 39, the Lord told him, he said, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And we understand that she is not taking a nap. You know, she was really dead. All the physical life had gone out of her. And the Lord was saying that this girl was asleep. Sleeping is a euphemism for death in the scriptures. And she was asleep, or she was dead, and that she will waken up. She will be resurrected from the dead. The Lord pointed to that when he said, well, she's only sleeping, but I'm going to raise her from the dead. I'm going to resurrect her physical body. And in verse 40, the reaction of the mourners there, we see that in verse 40. They laughed him to scorn. The voice of unbelief. The people had heard, probably heard of the Lord's miracles. Maybe they had seen some of those miracles performed by the Lord. But when he came into Jairus' house and told them he was going to resurrect this young girl from the dead, they laughed him to scorn. And it reminds me, and I mentioned this morning, about Lazarus, when the Lord raised him from the dead. He had been dead 4 days, and the Lord raised him from the dead. There were people there who believed in the Lord Jesus, but there were also people who refused to believe in the Lord Jesus and accept him as their Messiah, or accept them as their Savior. They refused to believe that. And how sad and how tragic that is. There are people in the world who refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus because of the hardness of their hearts and because of unbelief. Sad to say, there are some of God's people who don't believe the Lord. They believe in Him. They've trusted Him as their Savior. But they go about their daily lives as if the Lord Jesus doesn't even exist. They live their lives are forgetting the fact that the Jesus Christ has redeemed them, that He has transformed them, made them a new creature in Christ. Yet they don't pray. They don't read the Scriptures. They don't fellowship with other believers. How sad that is. But we see that the Lord was going to raise this young girl from the dead. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and enter into where the damsel was lying. In other words, when Jesus put them all out, he got rid of the voices of unbelief. There was only one person there who could help Jairus and his wife. There was only one person who could resurrect his daughter from the dead. There was only one person who could meet that need. His need, Jairus' need, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in verse 41, he took the dead girl by her hand and said, Talitha kumi. That's an Aramaic expression. It means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And we see in verse 42, and straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. The young girl got up. She was resurrected. She was revived from the dead. And she got up, and the people, I'm sure that her parents, at the end of verse 42, applies to them. They were astonished with a great astonishment. They were astonished and overcome with amazement at what the Lord had done. But you remember the Lord Jesus told Jairus, keep on believing. Be not afraid. Keep on believing. And you know, Jairus was a man of great faith, because he really believed, he not only believed that Jesus was his Messiah, he believed that that the Lord Jesus could raise his daughter from the dead. He had that much faith in the Lord. Do we, as God's people, do we have that kind of faith, do you think? When bad things come into our lives, when trials come and burdens come, when things just blindside us and just knock us for a loop, do we really have faith in the Lord that He will perform on our behalf, that He will work in our lives and in our circumstances? Some of you who have been through these trials and burdens, you have proved the Lord, haven't you? You know exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you in your life. But this is something for us to think about, brother, sister in Christ. If we say we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we say that He is our Savior, He is our Lord, if we go out and witness and tell other people about the Lord Jesus, are we living according to that great faith we claim to believe in the Lord Jesus? Sometimes I fail. You know, I fail in that. I know you have too. But from the words of the mouth of the Lord Jesus, be not afraid, keep on believing. That's what we've got to do as the people of God. We have to keep on believing. And I hope that these two events will help you understand not only faith and believing in the Lord, but it shows us the great compassion that our Savior has for other people. The Lord Jesus was compassionate enough to help Jairus. He was compassionate enough to help that woman with the issue of blood. Even though it was an interruption in where he was going and what he was doing, he was interrupted, but yet he had compassion on that woman. And he recognized her faith. Be looking for those opportunities. I know that's hard to do this, but be looking for those divine interruptions of people who need compassion, who need the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ, who need someone to talk to, who need someone to care for them, just like the Lord did. We should look for those opportunities. But we also must believe, as the Lord Jesus told Jairus, that we continue to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. We continue to believe, have faith in His great power, His mercy, His grace, as we go about our daily routine. Be not afraid. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You so much for Your great compassion. We know, Lord, that You were the most compassionate person who ever lived, that You were the most loving person to ever walk this planet. We thank You, Father, that You have put that compassion and love for others in our hearts. We thank You so much for that, Father, that we have the power now to look at people not as someone that we need to manipulate, someone that we have to use, but we look, Father, at people now who need Your touch, who need the loving touch of the Savior. Help us to remember this, Father, as we go about our daily routine this coming week. We commit these things to You, thanking You and praising You in the name and for the sake of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.